Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's that love that's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball.
That's right, Vin. That's right. Give it to me. Give it to me, Vin.
Not just Dodgers baseball, but all baseball.
That's right. We are back. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Spring has sprung. The smell of the grass, the crack of the bat, spring training games in full swing.
It's like music to my ears.
Oh, it's wonderful. Welcome to West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment.
Yeah.
Twitter? No.
No, Facebook.
It's every
time. We sometimes look at Twitter for funny baseball quotes and from players and interesting news sometimes, but no, we're on Facebook.
Hit us up. You know, give us some show ideas. We are very lazy. Although, hey, listen, we're back. Second time this month. I know it's a little late. Spring training is in full effect.
It is. We're very happy that, although I guess they had a little dusting of snow throughout Arizona last week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was raining in the beginning of the game, and then it was a bit of snow. It's like 49 degrees. What's going on?
That's pretty crazy. I don't know. I have been in Arizona when it snowed, but it's very unusual.
Well, it doesn't really seem very fun to get warmed up and limber in cold weather.
No, but, you know, when the snow in Malibu, also last week, I kept looking for that picture of Dodger Stadium covered with snow like Wrigley and Fenway and Yankee Stadium was during the regular season last year. That was just last year, April. Are we going to have another weird weather start to this baseball season?
I don't see how we won't. It seems like it's some sort of El Nino year in California as it is, so whether it's freezing temperatures like it was last year, or just outright rain in the West, which is super rare. I don't know. We still have a month, right? Until
a month and a half.
Well, no. I mean, not even. It's opening day is March 28th.
Well, I guess that's right.
So
here
just
we are.
Slightly over a month. Yeah. Yeah, we are coming, and it's going to be nice and hot. And I got the new baseball prospectus in hand.
As do I.
Got Shohei Ohtani rocking the cover. I like that. That's good. That's good for the game. He's good for the game.
I think so, too. I think it's unfortunate that he'll be recovering from Tommy John surgery. He will be swinging the bat for the Angels this year.
Is he starting the season in the lineup?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I saw a picture of him recently with the big Tommy John scar on his elbow.
Yeah.
And he said something about taking some swings off the tee and feeling good. I don't know if that means he's looking to start the year or not, but I think we'll see him at least as a designated hitter role this year.
Is it likely that we just see him as a reliever and a batter?
Not until he fully recovers from Tommy John.
Right, but like when he does, do you think they're going to test him again, throw in 150 innings a year?
If they want him to throw at the speeds that he was throwing at the high 90s,
right,
then yes, I think they'll have to use him as a reliever. Because
he would be equally valuable as a reliever and obviously as a hitter. He needed Tommy John surgery for the last like 2 months of the season. Some would say the entire season, and he was still mashing home runs. So,
right. Well, the elbow is not as critical to the swing as it is to the pitch.
Seems hard to believe, but I guess you're right. It's
hitting is all in the wrists, isn't it? And the power comes from the hips. The elbows are going to generally stay straight.
It is pretty insane, though, how he's Yeah, it's his lead arm. He's a righty but bats lefty, right? So, I mean, I know it's the inner part of the elbow, and you're using the outer parts more or less in your forearm to swing a bat. But still, it still seems otherworldly.
I am not a doctor. I don't even play one on the radio. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the physiology of it. I just, you know, he had been swinging, like I said, after needing Tommy John's surgery, and he appears to be starting to swing in as part of his rehab now.
Yeah, and he was smart enough to get surgery. What was literally the day after the regular season ended, so he had it all scheduled. He knew he was going to get it. He got it as early as possible.
Obviously. Maybe we'll see him pitching around the same time that we see Johnny Cueto pitching again.
Oh, yeah. What's the timetable on Mr. Cueto?
There's no true timeline. From what I heard, he has started to throw off of flat ground.
What's his deal? Like a hip flexor strain? What's his? I don't even know what it is.
No, he had Tommy John.
Oh, Jesus. See, that's how far out of the Giants loop I am right now.
Yeah,
he had
the elbow surgery, and he's recovering from that. He's throwing off of flat ground. He's no pain, and they expect that it's possible that he could be back by September if everything goes
well. Ouch! Wow, so he's out for the year,
pretty much.
Right, unless pretty the Giants make some meteoric change and are in line for some sort of October baseball, which is very unlikely, as how we do have a new member in the NL West right now.
Well,
some would argue.
I don't know. He's not. They're not really a new member. They're a new wannabe contender. Will they be able to challenge the Dodgers?
Well, no. I don't mean them as a team. No, definitely not this year. But the one individual, of course.
Oh, the one individual.
About,
oh, yes.
He's Mr. Manny Machado, now a friar, getting all holy down in San Diego. It makes sense. I think for him, he's going to go to a bad team, right? Either way, unless he went to the Yankees. And I had my money on the Yankees still. But then it makes a lot of sense. They don't really have that kind of money to, especially with next year. Chris Sale is going to be a free agent. And
Mike
Trout. Right. Yeah,
possibly.
So, he could probably rub. Well, he rubs people the wrong way. Luckily, most people in California are pretty laid back as opposed to New York, especially San Diego, right, where it's very big, very, you know, and they don't have any professional team anymore, right, except for the Padres. Do they have, like, an MLS team or something? I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't follow the
They don't have hockey.
The soccer.
They don't have football. They don't, yeah, so.
Yeah, the football
it's
team
good
moved
for
away.
Them. It's a good moon for them. And, I'm happy. I like seeing Machado in the West. I like seeing the West compete. I mean, yeah. Look. I'm sure the Dodgers. I don't mind if they win a seventh straight Western Division title. That's fine with me. But you know, at least earn it a bit. You know, last year we did with a lot of injuries and being plagued by that, and still coming
especially
out
at
on top,
the beginning.
But, right, exactly. Without Justin Turner and Clayton Kershaw at 100%. So you know, it'll be nice when the Dodgers do win the National League divisions again. You know, it'll just make it that much sweeter, especially if Bryce Harper is a San Francisco Giant. That's not going to happen, is it?
I don't know. It's really hard to tell. I mean, it goes back and forth. I think the big guy from Las Vegas is just jerking everyone around. I don't know.
He is asleep at night.
Yeah, he is.
Well, you know what? He's a millionaire.
You mean him or Scott Boras or both?
I don't know. I have a hard time thinking. You know that. You know why he hasn't picked a team to play with?
Right.
He's had multiple offers for long term deals and short term deals with better money than Machado at every junction, and it just comes down to, hey, Bryce, where do you want to play?
Right.
You know, the money is going to be there. It doesn't matter how long your contract is or...
No, or, exactly.
It's like you're going to play as long as you're going to play. Just pick a place to play and get to work already.
This is a subject that's been talked about a lot lately about how the system is broken, baseball is broken, there's something wrong with all these marquee guys not getting signed, but I don't think that's true. I I don't think there's any sort of overt collusion between the owners. And in fact, I think it's the exact opposite. These are just two divas. I mean, Machado, not even so much, but obviously Harper, who thinks he's worth something and is going to hold out until he gets it. And I don't think it's...
Is he holding out for $4 million still?
I mean, come on. He better not be. $300 million, 10-year, that's the biggest contract in sports history, at least by a free agent.
Well, you know, it turns out, though, that adjusted for inflation, the A-Rod deal to Texas would have been worth $380 million.
Really?
In today's money.
Well, but in terms of actual money, this is the biggest so far. And so, yeah, Harper is probably holding. I'm sure he wants to one-up Machado, even if it's just by $10 million. Just $10 million. But, yeah, he wants a long-term contract. But according to Jeff Passan of ESPN, the Dodgers are back in play for Bryce Harper, which I hope isn't true. We already got A.J. Pollock. I think he's easily the best outfielder in terms of free agents this year.
Why would their name come back into discussion otherwise?
Well, so yeah, exactly. Harper's looking for a long-term deal, and he's yet to indicate that his stance is going to change. But L.A. first contacted Harper reps about a short-term deal a couple weeks ago, and given the fact that the Giants have been rumored and actually almost favored in terms of the short-term deal option, it only makes sense that the Dodgers would come in and try to at least one-up the Giants, just in case Harper is even entertaining the idea of doing a short-term thing. Dodgers have been the better team for the last better part of a decade. They're certainly a lot closer to his hometown of Las Vegas, a 3.5-hour drive, 45-minute plane ride. Very easy for him. So it seems like if he was going to pick a short-term deal, the Dodgers just like, well, hey, yeah, listen, if you are, you know, like, come talk to us also, you know, because we are going to win the West and we are the closest team to your hometown. And, you know, it's not, I know he lives in Sin City, but he probably thinks about San Francisco as being like the ultimate Sin City.
Well, he certainly does have more tweets about how much he enjoys being in San Francisco than he does being in L.A.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Very well documented on his road trips. He has a lot of pictures, selfies with his wife and everything about him.
I bet none of them are in the Castro, though. And I can only imagine the amount of money he would make in the largest media market on the face of the earth in L.A. just doing endorsements. The guy's got a great head of hair. All right, he's going to be doing a lot of commercials in L.A. I mean, not that he can't or won't do it in any other city, but it's just there's just going to be more opportunity. So that's going to be another lucrative bump.
Well, I don't know. I mean, LeBron James, what is LeBron James' status in L.A. right now?
He's ugly. That's an ugly dude. All right? Bryce Harper, as much as I don't like him, that, you know, he's chicks dig that guy. Again, great head of hair, you know. You don't even have to know what sport he plays. You put him on a Head and Shoulders ad on a billboard off the 405. It's going to get a lot of looks, you know. Anyway.
I suppose.
But it looks like the Phillies have been talked about as being the front runner. And it seems like the Nats have sort of cut ties.
Yeah, they announced that they're moving on. Say good luck to Bryce Harper wherever he ends up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't. It's just the.
I mean, if it's
the Nationals,
be the Phillies,
aren't a better team.
If it's going to be the Phillies, how come he hasn't signed with them yet? It's already been a week since Machado's been with the Padres.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's he waiting for? He's going to alienate all his new teammates before he even gets there.
It's going to have what we saw last year with a lot of these guys that didn't even have a spring training, and they suffered, I mean, outside of JD Martinez, to a huge degree. If you don't, it's because, yeah, again, like you're saying, it's more than just being physically ready. It's having the chemistry with your teammates. It's building that rapport and understanding
getting
sort
to
of
know
where
them.
You fit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you fit in that lineup, you know. And the Phillies have a lot of sort of young homegrown talent as well, and they're all probably pretty tight. So you bring in this guy. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. It seems kind of crazy that it's taken this long for him. Again, I don't think it's really the fault of the teams. I mean, what more do you want, man? $300 million? I'm sure they offered him 9 or 10 years, right? Even $300 million for 9 years. That's even better than the Machado deal, really, when you think about it. I mean, it's more money. And 9 years, I mean, Jesus. Well, I mean, you know, what more do you want? I don't know. can he stay healthy? If he's 2015 Bryce Harper, sure. Yeah, give him whatever he wants. But he's not. Right?
Well, he's still very productive. He's still got great numbers. Comparable in many ways to Barry Bonds over the first seven seasons.
Did Barry Bonds ever hit 250, 251 in a regular season?
I can look it up.
I mean, I guess he could have. I just don't ever see him hitting below 270 guy. But, I mean, maybe.
Well, we were talking about career, not just individual seasons.
Right, but even in individual season, I'm curious to see what Bonds' lowest batting average was. And again, I mean, look, Bryce Harper's OBP has been great. It's been great for his whole career. But is it worth... Is a guy that can fluctuate that much in terms of output worth that big of money? Let's see. I'm looking at batting average. Yeah, okay, so he hit 248 in 1989, but... you know, I mean, the guy was 24. I guess that's almost around Bryce Harper's age. But then after that, the lowest he ever hit was 262. And that was in 1999.
We're also talking about one of the best players that ever played, too, in Barry Bonds.
Right.
Whether the Baseball Writers Association of America cares to admit it or not.
Well, I'm sure they admit it, but I think their issue is whether or not he deserves to be in it, right? That's kind of the whole thing.
His, you know, first 7, 8, 10 years...
Jesus, he hit 370 in 2002. Good God.
He could not miss.
Good God.
They threw him a strike, he hit it.
Jeez. As much as I don't want to go down this rabbit hole of Barry Bonds, it is really, it's pretty incredible just to look at the stats here. So I'm not going to. How about that? All right. We got Bruce Bochy. Your boy, what's going on there?
Bochy.
Is this maybe what the Giants need, in case you have not heard? Bruce Bochy, the Boch, to retire at the end of this year, 25-year managing career.
Yeah, a very impressive one as well. It's not too surprising this was the last year of his contract. He has been doing this for 25 years. He is one of only just a handful of managers to have more than 900 wins for two different franchises.
Wow.
He is the winningest manager in San Diego Padres history.
Still, yeah, that makes sense.
And the only one who's close is Bud Black.
Did he win a pennant with them? Yeah, right?
Bochy?
Yeah.
They lost to the Yankees in 94.
So Bochy's got 5 pennants, 3 World Series under his managing belt. Sounds about right, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And 3 of those World Series were wins.
Right.
Which is also a rarity. Not too many managers have won 3 or more, and certainly not in recent times.
And of course, the Giants first in California.
Right.
Which is a long stretch.
After 54 years.
Right. It's pretty... I mean, so he's a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think so. And that's... not even taking into account the sheer number of wins that this man has had.
Right.
As a manager. So to reach 2,000 career wins, it's possible this season the Giants would need to win 74 games.
Wow. Which, you know,
it would be an improvement over the last couple of years, to be sure, to win 74 wins. But if they are healthy and have at least average years for most of their players, 74 wins is not totally out of the realm of possibility for this team.
It shouldn't be.
It really shouldn't be.
It does seem like it is, but, you know.
Now, for the next thing is for Bochy to finish the season with a career 500 record as a manager, which would be 2016 wins, 2016 losses. The Giants would have to finish 90-72.
Ooh. Oh. Ouch. He's had some lean last few years.
There's
with the Giants.
Been that's, some that's, lean
that's
last few. They had
messed up his career.
He had some lean years with the Giants at the beginning of his Giants tenure, and now at the end of his Giants tenure. And of course, all those years in San Diego, he won a lot of games, but those weren't all great teams either.
I thought he was well above 500. That's interesting. All right, so you're hoping for a 90-win season.
Good a 90-win season gets Bochy to a career 500 manager.
And Bochy gets a 90-win season. Do the Giants extend some sort of offer to him to stay? I think they do. It seems like he's done, though.
I think they probably they might, but I think him announcing this so early takes out all the ambiguity, gives everyone time to think about what kind of manager they need to replace him. You know, to really like look to see who will be available and who will be a good choice for this team.
Giants aren't really on my radar too much. So who have you heard, or who do you think could possibly be the next manager? I mean, there's always some new dudes. There's always some new talent. Last year there was like four first-time managers. I'm sure the trend will continue and we'll start seeing this. But because the Rockies just extended Bud Black's contract for 3 years. Through 2022, and you know, it seems like most teams are pretty set. I don't know. Have you heard any rumblings as opposed to who's going to replace him?
No rumblings yet. You know, I've heard a few names thrown around casually. Not the least of which would be player manager Buster Posey. I don't know how serious that was, but. Yeah.
If he blows his knee out or something happens again, or if he breaks his leg at home plate again, maybe we'll see. Maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Craig Council's doing pretty good as a young manager there, you know.
I don't know. I remember when they hired Bruce Bochy, was not at all disappointed with the hire, man who I would love to see manage the Giants would be current broadcaster, a former World Series winning manager for the Diamondbacks, Bob Brenly.
Ooh.
He's also former Giants catcher from the 1980s.
Ooh, that would be good.
I would love to see that. I don't know if he would, to see it.
He's won a World Series as a manager as he a Diamondback, 2001.
And he's an all-time favorite Giant.
Ooh, that would be cool. I wouldn't mind. And I'd probably get a chance to meet him because he'd probably come into a... my day job. Let's say
your place of regular employment.
Yes. we tend to get a lot of baseball managers in there, which is pretty cool. Wow, yeah, Bob Brenly. I didn't even think of what's he doing right now. Do you know?
He's broadcasting. I think it might be with the Diamondbacks.
Okay. Yeah. Again, not on my radar, but hey, that's great. And you know, it's there are the Padres aren't the only team that are. You know, generally thought of as not even being in the running, that are making changes, that are making advancements to hopefully better themselves, which is great. You know, it's better to do something rather than nothing. And we can look at the Reds, of course.
The Reds, sure.
The Reds have lost 94-plus games in the last four seasons, but it didn't stop them from acquiring Alex Wood and Matt Kemp, who got a home run yesterday on spring training, but, you know, Yasiel Puig, Sonny Gray, you know, they might not make the playoffs, much less win the division, but at least they're trying. And for their fans, it's given them the possibility. And I think that's great for the sport. And again, same thing with the Padres. And the Padres have a great prospect list, too. They have arguably the best or the most prospects in the top 100 than any team.
I believe 10 out of 100 top one. 10 of the top 100 prospects belong to the Padres. That's what it is.
Yeah, and
they also have virtually every position under team control for the next at least four seasons.
That's and a recipe for success there.
Including Hosmer, Machado, of course.
Right. Will Myers.
Yeah, and Urias, Tatis. Right. Mm-hmm. Some really good-looking young position players.
Yeah.
Do they have the pitching?
Well, they can get the pitching, and it seems like
but do they have it?
They have the homegrown pitching, and look, Dallas Keuchel's still out there.
Yeah, Keuchel.
And they spent $300 million. Are they going to spend any more?
Well, they're still one of the lowest payrolls. There's
the
still...
Padres, yeah, the Padres' payroll is over $100 million, but only just for the second time in franchise history. So they might not yet be done.
They might not.
Is that right? They might not be done yet? I don't know. Anyway, they could, especially since there's a gaping hole in Arizona. Colorado still looks pretty good, especially now that they have Daniel Murphy. I kind of forgot about that, like that, because that happened like in December, and I kind of forgot that that the Rockies got Daniel Murphy for 2 years, $24 million. And Daniel Murphy is going to be playing first base, which has been a huge hole for the Rockies for the last, geez, I mean, better part of a decade? I don't even know. I mean, I know they had some success there with Reynolds, right? But, I mean, few and far between. Ian Desmond hasn't really been consistent at all. They are losing DJ LeMahieu, of course, to the Yankees, but Rockies look to still be the second best team in the National League. But again,
it's certainly possible.
We'll see with the Padres, because if the Rockies are the second best team, I mean, that's not saying much. Although they are pretty good. Trevor Story is awesome. Arenado is probably the best player maybe in the National League. I mean,
Charlie Blackman.
Right. So I don't know. I'm really excited about this season. It's gonna be great. And the Yankees extended Aaron Hicks 7 years. 7 year, $70 million contract with a club option for 2026. Aaron Hicks has been quietly like one of the best or one of the better guys, outfielders, kind of in the certainly American League, but maybe even in the game. I mean, I know he only hit like 250 last year, but he still had 27 homers. He had 48 extra base hits, 79 RBIs. The Yankees are looking pretty good. And again, next year with Chris Sale out there, could we see the Yankees trying to go a little Chris Sale in their life and then just dominate the Red Sox for the next 10 years? I mean, I know
that that's what they always want to do, is dominate the Red Sox.
Right. Chris Sale turns 30
and this
year.
Is also, I believe we talked about this briefly last week, that this is pretty much a must-win season for the Yankees and their very interesting streak that they have going.
What's the streak?
They have won in every decade.
Oh, at the World Series.
The World Series. They've won the World Series in every decade, going back to the 1930s. And this would be the last shot for the 20-teens.
I'm going
to
go out on a limb here and say that the Yankees will not win the World Series this year, and thus breaking the streak. However,
you heard it here first.
Well, yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. Adam says the Yankees will not. I repeat, will not win the World Series. Direct all your hate mail to Adam Porras Baseball Show Podcast
and
Gmail.
And all the love from the Boston fans, which I do not want anyway, so why don't you save the love? Because it's not untrue. Now, after this year, who knows? Again, Chris Sale's turning 30. So it doesn't really seem likely he's going to get a long-term deal. But it's also not completely out of the question, considering 2019 will be the final season for CC Sabathia, after he just announced that recently on Saturday as well. So they're going to have a big hole, while Tanaka, James Paxton, and Happ are under club control through 2020. You know, could they pursue Sale? Of course they'll pursue Sale. Everybody's going to be pursuing Sale, who has the highest strikeout rate and strikeout to walk ratio in major league history, and whose career 289 ERA in the American League ranks second to only Pedro Martinez. Now, again, I'm not a huge Sale fan, only at least for fantasy reasons, because he's always amazing in the first few months, and then the last 2 months he's average at best, right?
Why don't you pick him up and then trade him after the All-Star break?
I think I will. Hopefully nobody on the in the league is listening to this right now, except for you. But this is ever since we started this podcast, I've lost every year. So I don't know.
It's been 1 year. Don't be too overly dramatic. It's 1 year.
Well, it's still 100% I've lost. So it's, you know, it is only 1 year. But that, you know, it's a long year. It's a long year. So you're welcome, kids. All right? You rat bastard. You son of a bitch. All right. And enjoy that victory, by the way, because it will be your last.
So one last free agent to talk about before we move on to fantasy, is about Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell.
Yes. That.
Yeah. That guy. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
The closer in the World Series. He may have been tipping his pitches.
He, yeah, sure.
Holds his arm up like a hawk. That
right.
guy.
He's yeah. An, yeah, he's annoying to watch. But, I mean, the guy is dominant. And it seems like he fixed his pitch tipping after the ALCS and led them to a World Series. And not to mention, got them to that position anyway. I mean, people like to shit all over him because he had a pretty rough ALDS and ALCS. Because he was tipping his pitches, but then, you know, I mean, how quickly you forget
still,
that the guy was on the team
prevailed.
The whole season. Yeah, right. Exactly. It was like the most dominant reliever.
So how come he hasn't signed yet?
Because he's in his 30s, and he probably wants a lot of money because he knows he's the best reliever on the market now that Ottavino has been signed by the Yanks. And the Red Sox, they should get him because I don't know who else they're going to get, and their bullpen is not going to get any better without him. That's a good question. Maybe there's just not that huge of a market for a reliever that's that expensive. I mean, Andrew Miller has been signed. You know, Familia's back with the Mets. We got Herrera with the White Sox. I mean, you know, most people... I mean, the Giants could use him, right?
They already overpaid for
they've
a closer.
Been, yeah, they've been burned by the closeritis before. Yeah, that's yeah. They're still recovering from that.
from the Melanson debacle.
Right.
Although reports are he's feeling normal again, whatever that means.
Fancy.
But still.
How fancy.
Yeah, we,
nothing,
exactly. Whatever
nothing
that
fancy
means.
About it, but... Kimbrell has also said that he might be willing to sit out a year.
Oh, God.
If he doesn't get the contract that he wants.
Oh, Jesus. This, I hope this doesn't turn into the NFL, because that's awful. That's pretty much what he's saying. He took a page out of, what's that Steelers
name? Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, yeah, that's just, I mean, come on, bro. It's like, you're only going to be 30, 31 once. You're not going to get any better taking an entire year off. Like, what are you doing? You know, just play the damn game. It's a game, bro. Play it. Make your money. Play the damn game. Like, come on. I don't know. Easy for me to say, I guess. But it seems like, you know, like Pete Rose, like, what's that quote? He's, I would walk through hell in a gasoline suit to play baseball. It's like, yeah, you should want to be here. You should just want to play the game. Right. And hey, if you get $20 million, great.
So that goes for you too, Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, come on. Bryce Harper just needs to drink a beer and smoke a cigarette and just relax. I mean, I feel like, you know, being...
But he's Mormon. He wouldn't
yeah,
do
he
either
can't even
of those
have a
things.
Cup of coffee, for Christ's sake. I know. But see, it's, so when you take that into account... Imagine if I couldn't have beer. Oh, my God. I'd be a monster.
This would be a lot different show.
I'm drinking a beer right now as we speak. Exactly. I don't drink for myself. I drink for society. Okay? So it makes me a better person. Makes me a lot more tolerable to the rest of the world. Anyway.
I thought you served beer for society.
Well, I do that as well. I do that as well. But again, you know, it's... Look, everybody needs some kind of outlet, all right? Going to the gym every day can't be just be your outlet. Like, that's not enough, you know? You're going to get... I don't know.
What are you saying? Beer, it's not just for breakfast anymore?
Exactly.
Yes.
Alrighty, getting into, we're going to switch gears a little bit because I am excited because I did get my yearly tome of baseball porn, which is the Baseball Prospectus.
And for those of you listening at home, he just proudly lofted his huge Baseball Prospectus book in the air and yes. waved it triumphantly.
Hoisting it in
makes for great makes for great radio to do a flourish like that, Adam. But
exactly.
It's,
I know.
Well, gotta give the play-by-play.
Right. It might be old-fashioned. And who knows if they're going to even be printing this much longer. It seems like printed anything has gone the way of the dinosaurs. But as long as they print it, I'll keep buying it. And it's like Christmas, you know.
It's really nice to have it in print because it's so easy just to pull out and reference anywhere. You don't have to connect to Wi-Fi, you know. You
exactly.
Just, and it's flip to the pages, find the information that you want. Really well designed. It's great having it printed. I hope they can... keep printing it as well.
Yeah, now they do, they're famous for the Pacoda projections, which are the player projections for each active roster player in the game. So I mean this is why the book is so big. They go through every single player and write a brief little, you know, paragraph or two on each player. There's an essay for each team, So I, as I do like the projections, I don't really treat them as gospel. However, this year, there's some changes to the baseball prospectus, which I think are actually pretty cool. So there's a new pitching metric right now. And I don't know if you've had a chance to actually look through this, because I think you got yours a little later than I did.
I did. I've had mine for about a week less than you. I've just barely cracked it, started to look at it, but I haven't gotten into it too deep yet.
It's great, you know, and because again, I mean, you know, computer models and everything, I know they're much smarter than I am. I mean, they have to be, right? They can compute thousands, millions of variables at any given time, and they give you a pretty much what it expects to happen or what it expects these players to do. And they're generally on the very conservative side. The Pecota projections rarely ever project a guy at getting 40 home runs. In fact, I don't think they ever do. But you can generally gauge it based on, you know, yeah, he'll get 32 home runs. That's pretty much like as high as it goes, right? So it's very conservative, which is good. But generally, I like to just look at all the numbers and sort of make my own gut decisions. And for many years in fantasy baseball, it worked, and it helped. You know, I didn't necessarily need I don't know. I don't really like just depending on the projection. So I like that this year they have a couple new pitching metrics, which are fastball percentage, which is nice. You can it gives you a more of an understanding of how often the pitcher is throwing a fastball. And a fastball, there are three types of fastballs. We got the traditional four seamer, we got the two seam fastball or sinker, and then we also have the hard cutters, primarily cut fastball, or in place of a traditional fastball, which a lot of guys are opting for now, especially growing up watching Mariano Rivera and seeing the success of current players like Kenley Jansen.
Here comes the cutter, hit it.
Right. They're also doing whiff rate, which is great. I like this one a lot. It measures how frequently pitchers induce a swinging strike. Pretty self-explanatory, but to calculate it, they add up all the pitches thrown that ended with a swinging strike, then divide that number by a pitcher's total pitches thrown. So, of course, most often, high whiff rates correlate with high strike rates and overall effectiveness for a pitcher, which is also great because, you know, a guy might have had a down year, but if you notice that a guy like Jacob DeGrom who didn't have a down year, but if you're just looking at certain old school things like wins and, I mean, you know, and even a FIP isn't even necessarily as accurate when you're on like a bad team like that. So whiff rate's nice, and there's also now called strike probability or CSP, which is pretty cool too. Now that's getting a little bit more esoteric, but
called strike
probability. Yeah, so it's a number that represents the likelihood that all of a pitcher's pitches will be called a strike, while controlling for location, pitcher and batter handedness, umpire and count. So it works on each pitch.
So, historically,
it's deep. The
league leader of that would be someone like Tom Glavine, who seemed to have everything called a strike, even if it was six inches off the plate.
Maybe, yeah, or like a Randy Johnson or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Randy Johnson was closer than Tom Glavine was most of the time, I think.
But Johnson, yeah, that's true. Glavine had a lot of love from the umps for some reason. I don't know. But so on each pitch, their model determines how many times out of 100 that a similar pitch was called for a strike, given those factors mentioned above, and when normalized for a batter's strike zone. Then they average the called strike probability for all pitches thrown by a pitcher in a season, and that gives you the yearly CSP percentage. So, you know, pitchers with a higher CSP are more likely to work in the zone, where pitchers with a lower CSP are locating their pitches outside the normal strike zone for, you know, better or for worse.
So for scouting purposes, whether it's, you know, someone in a front office saying we should swing on the first pitch against this guy versus the other, can it be used for that if you know is in the zone more often?
Sure.
Taking a swing at first pitch, you're most likely to be swinging at a strike rather than a ball.
Or a cold strike, even if it's not a strike, exactly.
What does this mean then
for
finding fantasy pitchers? You want someone who has a high or a lower.
That's interesting. That's true, because then I guess you would also probably look at ground ball percentage when you're looking at these, and you would probably correlate those two, because if a guy does have a high CSP, he is maybe going to be more likely to get hit, like you're saying. But then if he has like a high ground ball rate too, like somebody like Jacob DeGrom or even a guy like Trevor Cahill, who's got like one of the highest ground ball percentages, you know, in the game. If he has like a high ERA, you might think, oh, okay, well, maybe those numbers will sort of be back to normal this year, especially when he's maybe pitching in a pitcher's park. I'm pretty sure he's an Angel this year, so that might not be the case. But you know what I mean? Like, you can't just look at one of these stats. You're going to want to combine a couple of them.
Ground ball percentage is, of course, the number, the percentage of ground balls hit as
on balls in play,
compared to balls in play against the pitcher.
Right. And so a high ground ball percentage is generally a really good thing. You know,
whether or not it's an out, it doesn't count whether or not it's just a ball hit on the ground.
Right, exactly. Because you would generally assume if a ball is hit on the ground, it's going to get turned into an out, unless it's right on the like third base bag or something, you know. Or unless you're on a shitty defensive team like Jacob deGrom was last year in 2018, you know. But there's a new offensive metric, too, this year, which is pretty cool. So they had true average before, which kind of tried to weigh in other factors, you know, other than just the at-bat. So now they're doing deserved runs created plus.
Deserved runs created plus.
Yeah, DRC plus.
What the hell is DRC plus?
It measures everything a player does at the plate. So reaching base, making outs, hitting for power, moving runners over.
Now making outs, balls in play. Versus,
that'll go against you.
Or versus outs like, fly, pop fly, infield pop fly.
Same, yeah, all of it. All of that. So that'll be counterbalanced with, you know, hitting for power, reaching base, moving runners on a scale where 100 equals league average. So it's a nice, easily digestible number. You know, a guy that has like a
over 100 is above average.
Yeah, and then a guy that's doing like 75 or 80 is, you know, very much below. But so, yeah, which is nice, you know. I mean, obviously looking at batting average is important, but now with shifts and everything else, you know, it's tough. I mean, maybe a guy grounds out, but maybe he gets the runner over, you know, and there really hasn't been a metric to account for that. Now again, for fantasy reasons, you know, that might not be super important, but you can still get an RBI getting an out, you know. You can get a guy home and still be out at first, and that's gonna count, you know. That's gonna be an advantage to your team. I don't know. It's interesting. It's pretty cool. I like these new stats. But again, I mean, I'm a sucker for any of this stuff. So I'm not gonna say I'm a full fledged stat nerd, although I wish I were. I'm just not that smart. So I have to just go by what they like spoon feed me each year in this book, which is great. I'm not getting paid, although I should be getting paid. So Baseball Prospectus writers, you know, support our Patreon. Like, what are you doing? Come on, I support you, or at least give me the free book. All right. And the trivia question winner will possibly get the Baseball Prospectus for free. We'll see if anybody won this week.
I have the Aubrey Huff tweet.
Oh,
burning Manny Machado.
Oh, really?
Yes, Aubrey Huff, of course, retired these many years at this point. Instrumental in the Giants' 2010 year, tweeted. Congratulations to Manny.
Congratulations, Yippee!
Yeah, that's pretty much, because in the same tweet, my first seven seasons versus Machado. Who are you signing? Average tied at 282. Home runs, Machado 175 to 152. RBIs, me 545 to 513. OBP. Great. Me, 430 to 335. Slugging, Machado, 487 to 468. Identical stats. I wish I was 10 years younger. Thought this would be a fun comparison for the at MLB fans.
There must be something I'm missing there, here, though. It's. I mean, obviously, Manny's power is a lot better than Huff's. But all his other stats are surprising. Yeah. He has a higher OBP. Yeah, the same average.
This is over the first 7 years of their
more
career.
RBIs? Or no, he has fewer.
More RBIs.
Wow. So fewer home runs, but more RBIs. That's interesting.
Right. 23 less home runs and 32 more RBIs.
Interesting. Well, but what am I missing here? There seems like there's something else.
Oh, well, so, you know, digging a little bit deeper off this tweet, the first comment was, "Let's do war." Manny's Manny's first 7 years, a 33.8. Yours in your entire 13 career, 20.4.
His entire 13-year career, he's...
Yeah, that's like why Manny's getting 300.
Well million. Over, well under 10 points war. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, 13.
So that 13, explains
13.4.
a lot. Now, Huff probably doesn't even know what war is. But
well, he doesn't. He said, what the fuck is war? Who cares? Yeah, I'm talking about real stats. So and it goes on for there. But let's remind everyone what exactly is war and why it is important.
Well, war is just a measurement to... Well, it's a metric to measure the wins you bring to a team above a replacement level player. So last year Manny had a 5.7 WAR. And that was arguably like one of his lowest because he was playing with two different teams, and when he came
one team wasn't really good.
And he didn't and he wasn't really good when he was a Dodger. I mean, he wasn't horrible. He still hit like 273. But he wasn't he wasn't Manny. I mean, he was good.
He was still learning a lot of the pitchers in the
right, exactly. That's true.
National League West.
100%. And so, but yeah, his career WAR so far is already 33.8, which you're saying is well over 10 more than Aubrey Huff's career of 13 seasons,
years,
like
yeah.
doubled the time. And so that's saying a lot. So essentially that just means Manny Machado is much more valuable on the field than Aubrey Huff ever was. So even if he is getting RBIs, they're low impact games or they're RBIs that don't really make a huge difference. Of course, he did win a World Series with the Giants. You would expect that those RBIs would be a bit inflated during those years. But I don't know. I mean, I see what he's saying, though. That's a really interesting point. I didn't realize Manny's career OBP was that low. I mean, I would have figured it was at least 350. But yeah, 335, that's interesting. Huff's is way more. Yeah. Their OPS is similar because Manny's slugging is higher. But but yeah, Aubrey Huff never would have been considered a $300 million man, or even a $100 million man, for that matter. That's interesting. That's a really good. It's a pretty funny point, especially since he doesn't even know what the hell war is. he knows. He but knows what war is.
He knows what war is.
He's
if
being
you
cheeky.
Looking at the raw stats, though, the first 7 years, you can't project. I mean, what if Manny's career goes the same way that Aubrey Huff's did?
And
he just doesn't keep producing at the same level that he did for the first seven over next seven.
I think it'd be more likely that Harper goes that way than Machado. I think Machado...
Is that because there's already maybe a trend there?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Machado's been more consistent, and Machado's better at defense than Harper is, or ever was for that matter. And it doesn't seem like, unless Machado has some horrible injury... Well, even taking out defense, his offense is Machado's offense is still much more consistent, right? So Bryce Harper's career WAR thus far is 27.4.
So lower than Machado's.
Yes, sir. And they both started in 2012. So yeah. So that alone, in my opinion, makes him more valuable. And historically, and I think we talked about this last time, but historically, whenever there were two guys that are free agents, the guy that played in the infield was always more valuable than the guy that played in the outfield.
It seemed like that the rule of thumb also, and going back to like Little League, the better players are always in the infield and the weaker players are in the outfield.
Exactly. I played left field. You know,
I played center. I'm right there with you.
I had a strong arm, but that's about it.
I could catch pretty much anything hit out to me, and that made me valuable.
Yeah, give me a fly ball, I'll catch it. Yeah, Bryce Harper's 2018 WAR was 1.3, so that's more Aubrey Huff than it is Manny Machado. I mean, again, he hit 249, so I mean, come on. I mean, he still had 100 runs to RBIs, which is pretty good. But you had a quote from Justin Turner that seemed quite apt.
I did. I imagine you as a Dodger fan might be feeling the same way, but this was from the Los Angeles Times about a week ago. Justin Turner feeling psychotic after Dodgers back-to-back World Series losses.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're not gonna,
psychotic,
win,
psychopathic, even. Yeah, I might go on a rampage.
So we all gotta watch out for riots in L.A. this year once the Dodgers lose their third World Series in a row.
No, once they win, you better watch out for those riots, because that's a lot of pent up anger, a lot of aggression. All
right. My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna need some kind of outlet, and this is I don't know how much more I can take, honestly, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I could take another one of those.
Fancy. How thank you. Fancy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. So 100% agree. But look, anyway, the world is right again. We got baseball on TV.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
I mean, what could be better? Well, the regular season could
the
be
regular
better.
Season.
And it's coming earlier than it ever has before. So
yes,
we have literally nothing to complain about. And that brings us to last week's trivia question.
Well, do we have an Ignoble Award winner?
Oh, no, that's right. Uh-oh, I jumped the gun.
I did, just a little bit.
We didn't have one last week.
We didn't have one last week. That's what's throwing you off. But I did find one for this week.
Does it have to do with the West? Because this is West Coast bias.
It does, in fact, have to do with the West.
All right, so that brings us to one
of our favorite teams, even. So, you know.
Oh, I'm getting excited. I hope this is the team we're talking about. That brings us to the Ig Nobel Award of the Week. What do you got for me?
I love that sounder. Okay. So, yes. So the Ignoble award winner goes to the San Francisco Giants power hitters.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The home run leaders for the San Francisco Giants in the 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018
Jesus.
Seasons combined to hit fewer home runs than Barry Bonds did in 2001.
Please read that again, because that doesn't even make sense. That makes no
sense. So 15? The home run leader
right.
for the San Francisco Giants in the season of 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018, basically since the Giants won the World Series last.
You could probably even throw 2014. I don't know. 13 Posey hit 20-something. So that's because, okay, nobody has hit 20 since then. So that's only four seasons. So that's well under 70. I guess somebody probably hit 10 in 2014. Okay.
Probably. Right. It's likely 2014 they had, 15, had a little bit more pop.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that's what I found for the Nobel Award because, you know.
That more than makes up for last week's lack thereof. I like that a lot. That was pretty good. All right. Well, I'm glad you brought that one up. Usually I would find something like that.
Thank you. You said the Giants have been off your radar. This is Giants news. How come, you know?
Right. No, it's true. Exactly. I try to stay in the dark there because, you know, I really couldn't care less. Although it does make me happy when the ticket prices go down. So that's kind of about it. But that brings us to last week's trivia question. Do you remember last week's trivia question? I certainly do.
I do not, in fact, remember last episode's.
Last week's trivia question was, who has the record for most four strikeout games, a.k.a. Golden Sombreros?
Right, the most strikeout, most four strikeout games.
Right, career, of course.
Career.
So we got, via email, Jameson Q in Los Banos says, Reggie Jackson. Yeah, that's a great guess.
Yeah, he's struck out a lot.
Because it was Reggie Jackson up until this man took the crown from him. The ignoble crown, so to speak. So no, it is not Reggie Jackson, although if we were doing this before 2006, It would have been. No, that was probably a huge hint. We got hashtag Clara B. Hottie in Rohnert Park. Wow, she gave herself a hashtag. I mean, I'm assuming it's a girl. Says Adam Dunn. Ooh, big donkey. Yeah, well, you know, this is a podcast that does love the big donkey, and that actually is a really good guess because, you know, we talk about him a lot. But no, sadly, that is incorrect. So no winners, no free books, no chicken dinners. Now, do you have, sir, Mr. Samuel, do you have a guess as to who this could be?
You know, my guess would have been Reggie. I mean, he's still right. Is the leader in
strikeouts. Out. You're right. Yeah. Career strikeouts. Career
strikeouts. Oh, yeah. So that probably would have led me to guess Reggie. Other than that,
Reggie Jackson has 23 golden sombreros, but there's one man that has more.
Wow.
He surpassed him in 2014. Sorry, I said 2006. He surpassed him in 2014. So it is relatively modern.
Relatively modern. You know, I really am drawing a blank. I'd like to say that I knew, but it's probably someone
It would be the 2008 ire of the Los Angeles Dodgers. One, Mr. Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard.
Oh, yeah. He surpassed Reggie Jackson in 2014 in a game against the Mets. Fun fact, though, Sammy Sosa and Ray Langford are the only players to hit for a platinum sombrero 5Ks more than twice.
Wow.
So that is a quite auspicious award in itself, yes. Right there. Only two players have ever done that. Those two guys in a 9-inning game. Now, there are other guys who have more, but in, you know, 18-inning games or whatever. But
right.
Ryan Howard, sorry, bro. Hey, he had a good year. I mean, he had a good career.
He did.
What do you got for me this week?
No, I...
Uh-oh.
You laugh, but I do not have a trivia question prepared this week.
Whoops. Uh-oh. Luckily, I do come prepared, and I'm gonna get a little trivia question from Mr. George Will. Now, you have a great video clip that we're going to have up on our website with Dana Carvey as George Will in an old SNL skit, which is John Lovitz as Tommy Lasorda. It's great. We got Mike Schmidt, I think, is on there. It's one of the funniest skits I've seen in a long time. So that'll be up on our website, hopefully, in case it gets flagged or taken down. But go check that out. And in honor of George Will, who is the most erudite baseball writer, but also probably one of the biggest baseball fans on the face of the earth. So, alrighty. This week, we got... Who got 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in a season for 5 different teams? Ooh, did we do this one before?
No, it sounds familiar. I don't know if we've used this one on air, though.
Well, this is a bonus if you are a loyal listener.
Second chance.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave the answer on Facebook, Podomatic website. You know where to find us. Who got 30 homers and 100 RBIs in a season for 5 different teams? Very, very hard to do.
Yeah, I have a few people that are coming to mind, but we'll wait for those guesses to come in.
Alrighty, until next time, I am Adam Nelson.
I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.
I'm so glad we can.